Study apple to Newton's genius head. Do you feel what I feel? The apple falling on Newton's head. Do you feel what I feel? I fall. Newton, don't you see? It's the force of gravity. It's the force of gravity. Sounding to physicists everywhere. Listen to what I say. Written in his books everywhere. Listen to what I say. A force, acting in a way such that F equals M times A. Such that F equals M times A. Set the physicist students in this class. Listen to what I says. Writing on the board in his class. Listen to what Newton says. An object with no external force, it will continue on its course. It will continue on its course. Said the physics students on their mighty blogs. Newton is a genius. Up all night writing on their blogs. Newton is a genius. A genius. A force. To its dismay, has an evil force in the other way. Has an equal force in the other way.
Hey. He also invented calculus!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of the Physics in Action podcast. What you just heard were the sweet, engaging harmonies of our students singing about Newton's birthday. We've got a great episode in store for you today, but first I'd like to congratulate all the students who have made this podcast so successful. As of now, with 19 regular episodes and 15 Regents Review episodes, we have passed 100,000 downloads, quite a milestone. So congratulations to the many students who have been a part of this ongoing project. Today we're going to start out with an interview with Dr. Kevin Grazier, NASA Jet Propulsion Lab physicist, as well as science advisor for the TV shows Eureka and Battlestar Galactica, and co-author of the book Science of Battlestar Galactica, which he wrote with Patrick DeGiusto. Now I will turn it over to Matt for his interview with Dr. Grazier.
Hi, I'm Matt, and it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Kevin Grazier, NASA Jet Propulsion Lab physicist and co-author of The Science of Battlestar Galactica, to the Physics in Action podcast. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. Yourself?
Good. So, Dr. Grazier, can you tell me a little bit about your new book?
Well, my co-author, Patrick DeGiusto, started writing this book and quite a while back, and he kept emailing me, asking me questions about the show and about insider info, and eventually I just said, hey, look, why don't we collaborate? And he said, sure. And the producer, the publisher said, sure, great. And his agent said, hang on. So eventually I used his agent as mine, everything was good, and the book was written.
Can you tell us a little bit about this book?
Well, in the series, over the span of 4 years, I've seen no small amount of people complaining online about how bad the science is, and oftentimes their take on what happened was sometimes incorrect or was poisoned by 40 years of sci-fi doing things incorrectly. So I was really keen to get this out there to number one, as an educational tool, to point out that some of the things we showed were pretty well done. The writers actually listened to me, and you know, with the exception of the FTL travel and the artificial gravity and the occasional sound in space, the science done in the show is pretty well done. And they, you know, they listened to the science advisor, so it was just an opportunity to point out that what we did was pretty much correct, and to maybe, you know, help teach people a little bit of science that they might not have known before.
Mm-hmm. So do you think mankind will ever develop faster than light technology?
Oh, I don't know. Tough call. Not looking good right now.
Not looking good?
Not looking good.
I understand you also appeared on the TV show itself. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Oh, it was great. I mean, everybody who worked on the show was had a sense that we were working on something that was bigger than ourselves. And, you know, despite the stereotypes of Hollywood, there were no egos involved. Everybody, you know, was essentially a sci-fi nerd growing up, everybody that I worked with anyway, and who just, you know, were making a show that we wanted to see ourselves.
I see. So what aspects of the show and your book do you think have the most appeal for high school physics students?
What are the most appeal? Well, that's a tough call. Wow. Wasn't prepared for that one. You know, you'll notice that the basics, we get a lot of the basics right, you know, like you see vipers flying, and for example, a lot of the very basic physics is done correctly, and and I think you'll find that it's always good to have a complete mastery of the basics. When you go, assuming you go to the PhD level, if you go to your PhD oral exam, a lot of students study all their most recent classes, their graduate level coursework, and what their committee is really looking at is a complete mastery of the basics. Mm-hmm. And so you can never overemphasize the basics of basic physics. Complete mastery of that will get you far.
So do you think that explaining these the physics of Battlestar Galactica in your new book was, I guess, necessary to try to, you know, back up the physics behind the TV show?
No, it was, I won't say necessary, because, you know, that implies that I felt it necessary to explain myself, and I thought we did it well to begin with. I thought it would be another way to enhance the experience for the average viewer. I mean, some people might... gain a great appreciation of the series after reading the book.
What advice would you give to high school students interested in pursuing a career in physics?
Well, apart from always remember that about a complete mastery of the basics is, well, you know, will get you far. Always remember why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, a lot of students, again, I'm going to the graduate level here, so it's little ways in advance from where you are. When asked, why are you doing the research you're doing? They'll often defer to, well, my advisor told me to. That's not good enough. No, always know why what you're doing is important.
So the love and, you know, like the meaning behind the work is what's most important?
Yeah. You know, when somebody on the street asks you, why is what you're doing important? You should be able to explain that. So many people can't. They say, well, my advisor told me it's important. That's not good enough. Know why you're doing what you're doing. Always.
I also have a question about from the TV show and probably involved in your new book, The Science of Battlestar Galactica. What do you think about Cylons?
What
and
about
could
them?
And could they ever exist?
Well, actually, I think we made a very good case for that. In an early chapter, we wrote a chapter on Cylon biology as a hypothetical conversation between a scientist and a smart aleck fanboy. And that was based in part by my co-author. He wrote the chapter, but it was essentially he encapsulated an email exchange that he and I had. But he also knows that sometimes I'll read on the internet people complaining about the science, and sometimes they're wrong. I get all frustrated. So he rolled a bunch of things together into one, and that was really a masterstroke what he did. But the chapter on cylon biology is written as a conversation, and I think we make a good case that we're pretty close to being able to do that right now. Yes.
Also, how long
and,
until...
And by the way, and let me back up. There's an author, Ray Kurzweil, who talks about what's called the singularity, the point at which machines are intelligent enough to not only make copies of themselves, but improve upon themselves. And he claims that the singularity is not that far off.
Okay. Also wondering, how long until man leaves our solar system, in your estimates?
Leaves the solar system? 50 years.
50 years?
Yeah.
So you think it's actually possible?
Oh, yeah, it's possible. I mean, we have spacecraft that left the solar system already, Voyagers.
So how did you say that was possible?
No, I said we've already had spacecraft leave the solar system. The two Voyager spacecraft are beyond it. Depending on how you define the end of the solar system, there's multiple definitions.
And how would how would you define the end of the solar system?
Well, how would I define it? I would define it by, depends on what you're looking for. The Voyagers are looking at what's called the heliopause, the point at which the sun's magnetic influence yields to the galaxy's magnetic influence, and they're about there now. And one's inside, one's outside. And there's also just the edge of the Kuiper belt. You can claim that's the end of the solar system. So I don't know, but either way, they're beyond both.
Also, now that Battlestar Galactica is over, what is your favorite TV show? Wondering if it's related to anything around
Caprica.
Physics.
Caprica and Doctor Who.
Caprica?
Yeah, unfortunately, Caprica is going bye-bye. But we are working on another a Galactica sequel called Blood and Chrome, so stay tuned.
So you're interested in creating another...
No, we already are.
You're in the process?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's coming live right off this Physics in Action podcast. Okay, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today, Dr. Grazier. Don't forget to pick up your copy of The Science of Battlestar Galactica, available through major bookstores as well as through Amazon.com. To pick up a copy from Amazon, check out the link on our webpage, physicsinaction.com. So again, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And learned a lot today. I actually did not know that we were actually already out of the solar system.
Yeah, two Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 are. They're robotic, obviously, but still. Yeah. And they were launched in 1977.
77?
It's been a while.
Oh, wow. Are they going to come back? Are they just...
No, they're gone.
They're just gone, picking up data?
Yeah, their imaging system has been turned off a long time ago, but their particle field instruments are still going, and we talk to them daily.
Oh, wow. So do you think that man, humans ourselves, will actually be able to do that?
Yeah, eventually.
Leave to?
50 years.
50 years. thank you very much again.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, Matt, and thank you, Dr. Grazier, for taking the time to speak with us today. Next up, we have more of the sweet harmonies of our students singing songs in celebration of Isaac Newton's birthday. Take it away, guys.
Newton's laws, Newton's laws, Newton's laws rock. Newton's laws guide, even though Newton died. Forces and formulas are bushels of fun. Now physics class has begun. Newton's laws, Newton's laws, Newton's laws rock. Newton's laws guide, even though Newton died. Momentum and impulse in Fullerton Square, in the gravity-filled air. Every action has reaction that's equal and opposite. Hey, Newton's law is time, it's a swell time to solve force equals ma. Hurry up, physics students, pick up your pen. Get ready to take some notes. An object in rest likes to stay in rest. That's Newton's first. That's Newton's first. That's Newton's first law.
Newton, the scientist, was a really happy guy. He had a big, big brain, and the apple came, which brought his thoughts alive. The first law of Newton explains how objects move. The second law equals fermi, and the third one still stays true. There had to be some sense of laws in that smart brain of his. And even after 300 years, it's still found on a quiz. Newton, the scientist, was a really happy guy. He had a big, big brain in that apple came, which brought his thoughts alive.
Joy to the world, physics is fun. Thank God for gravity. We would be nowhere, floating in the air. Unlike the eggs we dropped, they cracked right on the spot. Oh, we failed that lab. Joy to the world, physics is fun. We learned all Newton's laws. The apple that fell on his head, it made him go straight to bed. What is all his findings? We learned all good things. Oh, physics is fun.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Newton, 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 he made a list of us. The first one has inertia, or mass as some may call. Newton, 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 he has a second law. The force of any object equals its m times its a. Newton, 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 the third and final law. That's when you have two forces, it's like equal opposite horses.
Physics
Steel balls drop, they're in motion. Why they fall, not a notion. But thanks to Newton, it's all lots of fun. Learning in a physics wonderland. Gone away is the chemistry. Here to stay is the mystery. Dynamics at play, the knowledge will stay. Learning in a physics wonderland. In the lab room, we build with Lego. Making cars that run by gravity. Accelerating masses, we can time them and find the vertical velocity. Later on, we will rewrite to keep our grades from dropping out of sight. To face unafraid the grades that we made. Learning in a physics wonderland.
Woo! I'm Sir Isaac Newton, I'm Mr. Physics. I discovered gravity from an apple hitting my head. I've got three laws, baby, 1, 2, and 3. Inertia, force, and opposition. I'm too much.
He's Sir Isaac Newton, he's Mr. Physics. He discovered gravity from an apple hitting his head.
I've got three laws, baby, 1, 2, and 3. Inertia, force, and opposition. I'm too much.
Too much!
Silent force, holy force. All has matter, even a horse. Newton was sitting under a tree when he had an epiphany. That's when gravity was born. That's when gravity was born.
F equals ma, ma equals f. That's mass times acceleration if you're not a deaf. It even works for centrifugal force too. FC equals MAC, even if you're a Jew.
Dashing through the snow, in Great Britain's hills, making laws as he goes, laughing all the way. Apples falling out of trees, hitting him in the head. This created gravity, good thing, cause now he's dead. Oh, Newton bells, physics all the way. Oh, what fun it is to make the equation F equals MA. Hey, Newton bells, Newton all the way. Oh, what fun it is to create the laws we still use today. Years and years ago, an apple fell on me. He was really pissed until he thought about gravity. It happens every day in the exact way. This makes it constant in our world until today. Oh, Newton bells, physics all the way. Oh, what fun it is to make the equation F equals MA. Hey, Newton bells, Newton all the way. Oh, what fun it is to create the laws we use today.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed our podcast. Please feel free to leave us feedback on our iTunes webpage. Search for Physics in Action. You can also check out our website at www.physicsinaction.com or leave us email feedback at physicsinactionpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to all of our special guests, as well as our performers for today's episode. Have a great holiday season, everyone. We will see you in 2011.
Yeah, in the concept of a nation, it's all around ya. Things keep doing what they're already doing, and that's a nation. What an F4 size, it would deserve ya.
Second law
is about a simple formulation. To get force, multiply mass and acceleration. That's too much to say. Try this abbreviation. F equals mass times A.
Okay, that's a simple formulation.
Force is carbon in pairs, and if you feel your fair share, a skydiver feels the force of air, where gravity is balanced, it's really quite fair. For every force, there's an equal and opposite one for the pair. Got the explanation, got the formulation. I go and do the calculation.